I say good evening as well. The scripture a brother would like to have read is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 58. As I read over that there briefly, verse 52 sort of stuck out to me there. And last evening, our brother shared in his message, ears to hear and hearts to obey God's voice. This afternoon, we visited a dear sister over in Lebanon County, and it took a little bit to convince her of her age. She's 99 years old. It took a little bit to convince her that, but it's a fact. Once she realized that, it's a fact that you can't change that. And our brother shared that in his message last evening. The Word of God is true, and we cannot change that. The same in verse 52 there, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen. The Lord is going to return. That is a fact that not you nor I can change. And that takes us to verse 58 here in our same chapter. Let's be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we need to encourage each other. I believe we need to continually encourage, and at least I know I need encouragement from day to day to hold fast to the Word of God. Reading now from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. Ye shall not all sleep, but ye shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and ye shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All who are able at this time, shall we reverently kneel for prayer.
Thank Brother Eric for his prayer this evening, and for those of you who are praying for the speaker tonight, I appreciate it and I need it. The title of the message this evening is taken from the last verse, verse 58, and that's a verse that we'll be looking at this evening, entitled, Your Labors Are Not in Vain. Your labors are not in vain. This morning in the Sunday school lesson, we talked about that a little bit, about being about our Father's business, about living a life of faithfulness, living a life of obedience to God, walking the Christian walk, trying to live out the commands of our Lord, trying to be faithful and obedient. And as you go along the Christian walk, as you're about your Father's business, it is hard by times. It's hard to die to self. It's hard to put God first. It's hard to put others first. It's hard to fight the good fight. Our Christian walk and being about our Father's business can be a struggle. The teacher this morning in our Sunday school class pointed out that when our Lord was in the garden and he struggled with obedience to God, he sweat great drops of blood. It's not easy. All our efforts, all our lifestyle, our consistent testimony. Here in verse 58, it's called labor. Look, if you would, at verse 58 of our text for this evening. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a couple of interesting words in that verse. The first interesting word that I see there is a word for labor. It's interesting in the Greek that the word for work and the word for labor are two very different words. Work has the idea of expending of energy, doing something, but that work may be easy and pleasant. The Greek word used here for labor is very different. It has to do with a toil that results in weakness and weariness and trouble. And as believers, as we give all to the Master, as we labor in His vineyard, as we attempt to serve Him faithfully and obediently, we find that we labor, and it can be hard work. The second word in there is vain. Vain means empty and void. It means of having no purpose. And this verse declares that all of our hard work, all of our tiring work, all of our draining work done in the Lord is not empty. It is not without purpose. What a promise you have as you face the hard work of being about your Father's business. Have you ever asked yourself, is it all worthwhile? Is it all worthwhile? Really, all the work, all the energy, all the effort, is it really worth it? Most people like to be encouraged by seeing results, right? You do and I do. We like to see the results of our hard work. If you've been picking tomatoes or beans, you like to see the baskets piled high. If you're weeding in the garden, you like to look back and see a clean row. If you're canning peaches, you like to see a table full of shining peaches in the jars. We like to see the results of our labor. And in the same fashion, it's hard to accept when we don't see the results of our labor and maybe have wasted our time and worked hard for nothing. I found an account a number of years ago I thought was interesting. It was in an old almanac, and it's, I guess, a fictitious story, but yet it makes a good point. The hired man told of his work on the farm he had just left. He said that the boss sent three men of them out into the field to pick up stones, and the stones were piled in little heaps in the fields. A team and wagon stood idle in the barnyard. The hired man asked the boss if he should not take the team and haul the stones away as they went instead of piling them first in piles in the field. No, the boss said, we'll just pick them up today. The next day, the same three men hitched up the team and hauled out the stones. Of course, the hired man said, I did just what he told me. I'd have pitched straws against the wind if he had paid me for that. Yet it was easy to see that he was not pleased with such wasting of labor. He knew he was right, and no man worth his salt likes to labor in vain. It's true, isn't it? We don't like to labor in vain. We don't like to work and not see the results. It should be an encouragement for each of us tonight, this verse where it says, your labor is not in vain. No one wants to work hard and not see results. No one likes to think of all the wasted time and all the wasted energy, and their labor was in vain. Have you ever felt that way, that your labor is in vain? What about at work? Did you ever think you were assigned to do busy work, something that you couldn't see the results for? I have. Have you ever felt that way spiritually about church work? You work hard, you're tired, you're weary, and you see no results, or perhaps because of all your hard work, you experience rejection or persecution or ridicule. You've been faithful, you work hard, and you see no results, and you wonder, is it worth it all? There's four areas that I think we struggle with a question, is it really worth it all? Is it really worth it all? The list that I have for you this evening is not complete, but it's a list of areas that I struggle with, and perhaps you do too. The first one, is it really worth it all, is in missions and evangelism. I think this is one of the fields that the potential for disappointment, throwing up your hands and asking, is it worth it all, perhaps is the greatest. You work hard on missions and you see no visible results. On the Alaska Mission Committee, is one such struggle. We've heard the brethren from Alaska call, their plea for help, their plea for leadership. We know a need exists. We know it's God's desire that all people hear his word and that we teach others and instruct others. We know it's God's will. Yet I can't understand why God isn't calling people to the work. And you wonder about all the times and many hours that were spent in prayer and in meetings and in visits. Is it all in vain? Is it all a waste of time? I think of the brethren in Maine. They desire to live by God's commands. They have a desire to witness to the community. And yet, growth comes very, very slowly. And you wonder, is it all worth the effort? The Adams County Rescue Mission. When you go there each month, you see the same group of men. You look out on their blank stares month after month. As soon as the speakers finish, they all rush out to watch television. And you wonder, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it all? What about your efforts of sharing the gospel with your neighbors? We have a neighbor, probably the best neighbor we've ever had. He's always there to help you in times of need. We never once called on him when he didn't come. Two times in the last number of years, he's had close calls and God spared his life. He's been witnessed to in word and deed and by example. And yet there's no change. And you wonder, how can it be? We're tempted as the years roll along to give up. Maybe we name the mission a bad decision. Maybe we claim we didn't hear God correctly. Maybe we call it a waste of time and energy, and we wonder, is it really worth it? I tell you, brother and sister, this evening, it's proclaimed here in God's word very, very clearly that we're not to give up. We're to press on. It's not a waste of time. Your labor is not in vain. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The second area, I think, sometimes we struggle wondering, is it worth it all, is teaching. It goes hand in hand with missions, and you're subject to the same discouragement. As Sunday school teachers, and many of you are, do you ever wonder, is it worth it all? Is it worth the hours and hours that you spent putting together a Sunday school lesson? You wondered, did it really make a difference? Perhaps you're even tempted to quit. Let someone else do it for a while. Perhaps you teach by example. You've been faithful in your lifestyle, in your conversation. You know, Scripture says that we are salt and light. We are salt and light, it tells us. And as the world looks upon us, it glorifies our Father. It's not easy to be salt and light. And we wonder, does our life really make a difference in the lives of others? Is God really glorified through me? Scripture tells us clearly. It's very plain that your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. The third area that sometimes we struggle with and wonder is it really worth it is obedience to God. That was also touched on this morning in the Sunday school lesson. Obedience to God. Obedience to God's word is a very, very hard job by times. When you're obedient to God's word, It lets you be open to subject to ridicule and to scorn, to persecution. It puts you exactly opposite 99% of the world in what you think and what you do. You're under a lot of pressure, and you can wonder, is it really worth it? There are many areas of obedience that we can talk about this evening, but two come to my mind. The first is a commendation for you sisters and your obedience to God when you wear the proper size head covering, when you dress modestly in simplicity, free from the fads and fashions of the world. I commend you for it. I imagine it's not easy to stand out. All the people stare at you. All the people point at you, and you're subject perhaps to ridicule and harassment. Maybe you think, why do I have to be the only one at work that dresses this way? Maybe you think, why am I the only one in the restaurant or grocery store dressed this way? Is it really worth it? Wouldn't it be easier just to do what everyone else does? Is it really worth the fight? I would tell you that your obedience to God's word is a clear testimony to a wicked world around us. It screams out to the whole world that you love God. You love God enough to be obedient to Him. When all your friends change, and all the world seems to be changing, your friends cut their hair, wear smaller covering, your friends dressed immodestly in fashionable clothes, I'd encourage you to continue on in obedience. Scripture tells you that it's not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Obedience. What about the command to not to lay up treasures for ourselves on earth? That's a hard one, isn't it? Everyone you know has a bigger house than you do. Everyone you know has a newer car, a nicer kitchen. Everyone you know has a larger farm. And it's hard. It's a struggle for me. Do you try to get these things? Or do you sacrifice, give up, live with less, and give your time and money and talents to the work of Jesus Christ and His church? It's hard. It's not easy. Wouldn't it be easier to live like everyone else, to spend your resources on what you want? It's not easy when you make a decision to obey God, to die to self, to sacrifice your money and your talents. I know many of you live a life of sacrifice, and I commend you for it. I've seen it. You're willing to give money, and it hurts. You're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to give of your time and of your talents, and I commend you for your obedience to God. I know it's hard. Don't give up. Continue to obey God. Your labor is not in vain. The fourth area, perhaps, that we struggle with questions, is it really worth it all, is in prayer, your prayer life. Prayer comes hard for me. Maybe it doesn't for you. Prayer takes time, it takes energy, it takes focus, dedication, desire. Have you ever wondered, is it really worth it all? To pray and pray and see no results, is it all a waste of time? Many of you have prayed and prayed and prayed and then prayed some more. I wonder, have you given up? Parents and grandparents, perhaps you have wayward children or grandchildren that rebelled against the church, never accepted Christ. Hour after hour, day after day, year after year, you prayed for them, and there's no change. Have you given up praying for them? Have you thought it really isn't worth it? Perhaps you pray for a loved one struggling with a hidden sin, chained in bondage to a sin. And you cry out to God for years and years and see no results. Have you given up? Perhaps you pray for a medical problem over and over again and you see no relief for it. And you wonder, is it worth it? Have you given up? It's hard as the years roll by and the years turn into decades, and I'm certain many of you have been praying for decades. Are you ever tempted to give up and say it's not worth it when you see no change and you've had enough? I'd encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't give up. It's not a waste of time. Our scripture tonight reminds us when we labor, it's not in vain when we labor in the Lord. When you're tempted to give up, when you're tempted to give up on missions and evangelism, when you're tempted to give up on teaching, when you're tempted to give up on obedience, when you're tempted to give up on prayer, and you're saying to yourself, is it really worth it all? I'd encourage you to turn to this scripture and be reminded that the scripture says your labor is not in vain. It's not worthless. It's not empty. Be steadfast and unmovable. As we struggle with discouragement, when we wonder, is it really worth it all? When we don't see results, I'd like to remind you of a few things. These things we all know, but it's good to be reminded. It's good to keep them in mind. The first thing to remember is God's timing is not our timing. We all know that. God's timing is not our timing. 2 Peter 3:8, everyone knows that verse. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. We all know it, but it's hard. It's hard to understand God's timing. To us, it seems like a very, very long time to not see results. And truthfully, some things we'll never see the results for in our own lifetime. And it's very hard. We live in a results-oriented society. Most of you know I'm a salesman. I'm evaluated every year on how much profit I make the company. New hires, any new salesman they hire, they expect them to hit the ground running, be profitable your first year. There's no time for training, no time to get someone up to speed. They have to produce results and produce them now. In today's world, we like immediate results. We turn the lights on and the lights come on. We don't like to wait in line at McDonald's. The world is fast and getting faster. And it's hard for us to grasp the idea that our timing is not God's timing. But we must remember that when we're tempted to be discouraged, when we're tempted to give up. The second thing to keep in mind when we're tempted to give up is God's measurement of success is much different than ours. And what I'm thinking of here is the different value he places on one. Think about it. The value of one soul. What is the value of one soul? Sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we forget that one soul is so very priceless. We're numbers driven, aren't we, in today's world? We want to see progress. We want to see growth in churches. We want to see growth in the missions field. And I'm challenged with the thought that one soul is worth it all. If only one soul is changed in the Ukraine, it's worth all the money that we've sent over there, and all the time in prayer. If only one soul is saved or changed or led to God in Alaska, it's worth it all. Only one soul changed and saved in China. One soul in Maine. It's worth it all. You know, the value of something often is in the exact opposite proportions of it, the quantity. And what I mean by that, say you're a paperclip salesman. How many paperclips would you have to sell to make a living? I have no idea, but I imagine you'd have to sell billions of paperclips to make a living. For me, I sell fertilizer and chemicals. I don't have to sell as many as the paperclip salesman to make a living. What about the car salesman? He has to sell less than me, I imagine. The number of cars, I don't know how many you have to sell a week to make a living. But what about the salesman that sells multi-million dollar homes to the rich and famous? I imagine if they make one sale a year, it would be considered great. Do you see? If your life makes a difference in just one soul, just one in your whole lifetime, what a great value it is. We must be careful in getting caught up in numbers. God measures success much differently than we do. He values the number one much more than we do. There's a story that we often think about with the value of one. I'll read it for you. You've heard it, I'm certain, before. A young man was walking along the ocean and sees a beach on which thousands and thousands of starfish have washed ashore. Further along, he sees an old man walking slowly and stooping often, picking up one starfish after another and tossing each one gently into the ocean. "Why are you throwing starfish into the ocean?" he asks. "Because the sun is up and the tide is going out, and if I don't throw them further in, they will die." "But the old man, don't you realize there are miles and miles of beach and starfish all along it? You can't possibly save them all. You can't even save one-tenth of them. In fact, even if you work all day, your efforts won't make any difference at all." The old man listened calmly and then bent down to pick up another starfish and threw it into the sea. And he said, "It makes a difference for that one." The third thing to remember when you're tempted to give up, when you're wondering if it's really worth it all, is that God's expectations and evaluation of our performance is much different than how we would evaluate ourselves. We look at results. We want to see converts. We want to see lives changed. We want to see progress made. I think I've shared it with you before. One of the things that really bothers me sometimes, as far as I know, I've never led a soul to Christ, to the best of my knowledge. And to hear missionaries speak on our mission Sunday, and to hear Sister Michelle, Brother Nelson speak of all the people they touched. When you hear a minister preach and you see lives changed, I'm happy for it, but it bothers me that as far as I know, I've never led someone to Christ. But actually, that isn't the way I should look at it, is it? That's my expectation. That's my evaluation of my life. The real truth is, God expects me to be faithful. God expects me to be obedient and submissive to Him. That's what we're commanded. And that's a criteria that we're evaluated on. What we need to ask ourselves, rather than how many converts we've made, is have I been faithful? Have I been obedient? Have I been submissive? It's really a very different way to look at it. We must be careful to evaluate ourselves on faithfulness to God and let the results in God's hands. Three things to remember as you wonder if your labor is in vain. If you're tempted to believe that, God's timing is not our own. God's measurement of success is different than ours. And God's expectations for us are different than ours. Brothers and sisters, we must not give up. We must not get discouraged. We must not allow our thoughts to remain in our mind when it comes in there, when we wonder, is our labor really worth it? Scripture clearly tells us our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why is it so important for you to labor on? Why is it so important not to give up? The answer is we're laboring for something that's very serious. We're laboring for something that's very valuable. We're laboring for something that's very precious, and it's the souls of men. Our labor makes a difference whether they choose life or death. Our labor makes a difference whether they end up in heaven or hell. Our labor makes a difference whether they experience the sin and death described in our text or the victory described there. This whole 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians speaks for 57 verses about the victory man can have over sin and death through Jesus Christ. For 57 verses, it describes the glories that await the believer. For 57 verses, it talks about the victory man can have. It's important. It's a matter of life and death. It's no accident that that chapter ends with verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's no wonder it tells us not to give up. If you give up, if you make the choice to give up, if you stop laboring, if you think it's too hard and it's not worth it, if you quit, perhaps, just perhaps, someone will not experience what's described in these verses. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give up. The time is short. Your work is not in vain. Let's be faithful and obedient to God and let the results in His hands.
Our brother has given us a good challenge and encouragement here this evening to be faithful and to be obedient, and also to encourage us to not get discouraged and remember that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's stand for closing prayer.